RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Kedrick Golston sitting in for GP. It's time to jump to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome on our pal for his weekly appearance, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tebbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebbert.com. Jay, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. Did you actually ever, in the years that you coached Kedrick Golston, did you actually ever talk to him? Because he was on the defensive side. Did you guys ever interact?
Yeah, he would say, hey, man, why didn't you tackle that guy? Why didn't y'all tackle that guy?
He's one of my all-time favorite Redskins, man. A great guy, great player, hell of a teammate, great leader. Yes, he's coaching now really good. His kids are doing great. Love it.
Very, very cool. It's cool to have you guys reunite here on the airwaves. It feels like a month ago that Washington played on Christmas Day here, very, very recently, it seems. What did you make of that game, just with backups, compete level, and everything? Kind of give me your 30,000-foot view.
Yeah, I thought they came out and played hard, a lot of energy. They were on the field for 90 plays on defense, so that's a very tough deal to overcome. But they're still right there in it till the end. You know, I was a little disappointed to do an onside kick there at the end, but for the most part, I was impressed the way they competed. They were shorthanded, obviously. Dallas didn't have much to play for either, but they were looking to put up some numbers. And Washington, for the most part, stayed close and had a chance to do something at the end.
Jay, we've both been a part of seasons like this, right? Obviously, we know there's a ton to play for, people's careers, contracts, so on and so forth. But as somebody that was a head coach of this franchise, right, like, what is your message to the team, like, behind the scenes, right? Like, you always hear, like, well, we're playing in a meaningless game. Well, we both know nothing is meaningless. Could you please just kind of explain to the fan base, like, kind of the process of, one, like, everybody still being evaluated, two, like, going into the season, even though it's lost, kind of with some momentum so that you can kind of springboard for success in the future?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think you're looking for players to compete under any circumstance. That's what you want on your football team moving forward. You know, every game and every situation is not going to be for a world title. I mean, I want guys that are going to compete no matter what the situation, where it's at, when it's played. That's what you're looking for, the type of player that you can build your team around and moving forward. And you want to surround yourself with players that just love to play football, love to compete, love to prepare, and that's what you're trying to do, and you're trying to continue to preach the same message, whether you're playing for division title or you're playing for your fourth win at Philadelphia. I mean, it's important to a lot of people. I mean, people show up to these games. You know the competition, Ken. I mean, you're playing against another man across from you. You're not going to go in there and lay an egg. You got to compete and want to beat his ass, right? I mean, that's just what I don't want to go out there as a football coach for an NFL team and get my ass whipped by another head coach on another team, especially in Philadelphia. So I'm trying to put my best foot forward. I'm trying to get guys with me that are going to put their best foot forward and compete and go get a win.
Jay, Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara at 11 for 105, a couple of touchdowns. So the long 72-yarder, obviously the highlight. Outside of that 10 for 33, again, with the touchdown there, I thought mostly he was bottled up until kind of that big explosive one. But, A, just what you see from him running the football in this run game, and, B, pass game type stuff. No receptions, no targets there, but I thought pass pro, he held up pretty decently. Just kind of give me your thoughts on his game.
Yeah, he's continuing to grow. And this guy only played one game last year as a college player at, Arizona? Only played one game because of eligibility issues. So this guy is learning and growing every day that we see him play. And I think he's getting better and better. And it takes some time for running back. People don't understand how important, how hard it is for running back, not only finding the run lanes and reading blocks, reading double teams, but also picking up blitzes and learning the pass routes and the pass protections. It's very difficult, especially for a guy who hasn't played a whole lot. So I've been impressed with his progress, and I think that's what Dan Quinn and Peters, Adam Peters, are looking for. They want guys to see them progress from week one to the final game of the season. Are they getting better? Are they staying the same? Are they getting worse? We want guys that are getting better and continue to grow, and I think he's showing that he has been.
Coach, obviously you did a great job with some young quarterbacks that you had to develop. Like, what's one thing that's like a must when developing a young quarterback, right? And everybody says, well, you want to have a great defense, a good running game, but like from a scheme standpoint, right? Like, what is a must when you're still, Jaden's a young quarterback, he's had a ton of success, uber talented, right? But what is it something from a head coaching, offensive play caller standpoint that you want to do for a young quarterback to make it easy for him so that he can continue to grow and to develop in the league?
Yeah, that's tough because you always want to work on his fundamentals. That's always a mainstay. That never changes. You're working on his fundamentals and his work ethic. That is what Jaden has. I think moving forward, I think you got to continue to challenge him mentally. There's a lot of things you can do pre-snap that can help him post-snap in his execution, and I think that's something that they need to grow and try to be better at. You know, man zone tips, learning how to pick up blitzes, protection, know where your hots are, understand how to flip protections if need be, really learn how to protect himself so he can get back the pass, set his feet, know where his eyes are, and anticipate throws, and just continue to grill him and grill him and grill him and try to get more and more out of him from a mental pre-snap execution standpoint. Because, you know, if you just call a play and hoping to God you get the right coverage, if you don't, I mean, you're kind of screwed. So it's very important to try to help that quarterback in his process pre-snap, get him in the right place so he knows where to go and try to attack defenses instead of letting defenses attack him.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. I want to go to around the league with you a little bit here, Jay. Start with Washington's opponent this coming weekend. Eagles won a strange one, 13-12. That was a grown man football game. A lot of pushing, a lot of kind of old school sort of NFC North type football right there. Bills go for two at the end, don't get it. Eagles offensively, especially in the second half, not much doing. But again, you've got to tip your hat to the defense. They're 11-5, but it just doesn't feel like they're the same great team. And yet, they're in a pretty damn good spot here with a chance to finish with the second seed in the conference. Give me your kind of state of the union here on the Eagles.
Yeah, I think offensively they've been disappointing all year. Not many big hits from Saquon like they had a year ago. The explosive plays aren't there, and they're not doing a very good job of maintaining drives on third down when they have to throw it. So they've been disappointing a little bit, but still they're in position to get a home playoff game and obviously do some damage on in the playoffs, because they can always win when you have a great defense. Cooper DeJean, and he's playing unbelievable. The front, we already know about the front seven. They're very, very good. So they're going to be able to compete with anybody that they play. It's just a matter of they got to get some explosive plays somehow. They got to get Saquon back to hitting a couple homers throughout the game. They got A.J. Brown going. Devontae, you know, he's a big play waiting to happen. So they'll figure it out, I think. I still think they're probably, in my mind, one of the most dangerous teams coming out of the NFC just because of their defense and their experience.
Coach, from an offensive perspective, right, like you see the ebbs and flows, and we all joke on the defensive side of the ball, like it's like offensive guys are like the Mickey Mouse Club. But all jokes aside, right, like, you know, it seems like 5, 6, 7 years ago, right, everybody wanted to spread each other out, right, and trying to create those one-on-one matchups and isolate it. Now you see a lot more condensed formations, right? Is that something that you picked up on? And what do you think the pros and cons of both, right, where it was spread out, get some speed, where now things are getting back tight, right, a lot more blocking from the receivers kind of really in that front seven. Like, what's your kind of viewpoint of, like, kind of where offenses is now versus where it was maybe 5, 6 years ago?
I've always liked condensed formations and bunch formations and that type of thing, just because you can always spread them out with wide departures and all that stuff, but you also have the ability to run the ball in those formations and able to dig out safeties if need be. You know, if you're spread out, safety walks down, it's hard to get them, so you got to motion guys in there, but you're in condensed splits, they can dig out safeties. And you can also help out with the tackles. You can chip defensive ends. Miles Garrett's become non-factors when you're banging them with a tight end or a receiver or whatever it is, trying to get four hands on the really good pass rushers to slow them down. There's a lot of things you can do in the run game with guys going across the formation, guys digging out safeties, inserting into the line of scrimmage. So I've always liked condensed formations and bunch formations. I think they're very beneficial to the offense and give problems to the defense, because now they got to figure out how they're going to play man. One guy's got to be pressed. One guy's got to be off. They get in and out it. There's a lot of areas where it gives defenses problems. I think it's a big part of football right now.
Jay, give me your Seattle Seahawks assessment. You know, they were tight with Carolina, and then you looked up, and all of a sudden they won by three scores again. Just like a vice grip, this team. They're really, really impressive defensively, but what makes them go on offense? It seems like there aren't too many things you'd have to worry about, and yet all of a sudden, you know, you're down by 20-some points.
Well, they have two pretty good backs. I like Walker and Charbonnet. They're very good. Sam Darnold, you know, say what you want about him. He won 15 or 14 games last year at Minnesota. He's in a position to be a number one seed in the NFC this year at Seattle. Smith and Jigba's emerged as one of the top receivers in pro football. So they have a top wideout on the outside. They have two very good backs and a quarterback that's executing pretty good at a high level. He's just got to eliminate the turnovers. We all know that. And they're going to be a dangerous football team moving forward. Coach McDonald has always been an outstanding defensive coach. They're very sound in what they do. They have great pressures when need be. And they are good tackling, fundamentally sound team. I mean, they're just a good football team all the way around. But it's going to be up to Sam Darnold as the playoffs start. Can he protect the football in critical situations?
What makes JSN so special to you? It feels like he's, you know, I hate to evoke some of the greatest of all time, but it sort of feels like that, where it doesn't look like he's moving all that quick or fast, but he's got separation on everybody. It's just so smooth. What makes him so good?
Yeah, he runs every route the same. You know, it's hard to gauge his speed because he's right up on you, and he knows how to run routes, get up on defensive back's toes, and from there, he's a nightmare. He can run by you. He can set it down. He can run the basic crosses. They do a good job with his route tree, too. They move him around a little bit. They put him in a slot from time to time, so it's hard to really identify where he's at, where if he's just an outside guy, hey, let's just put a safety over the top and double him. You know, now he's inside. Now he's motioning across. So they do a really good job with him getting him the ball in unique situations and spaces. So, yeah, he's a great player. He can do it all from anywhere on the field. That's what makes him special.
Coach, kind of going kind of to the off season and thinking about next training camp, right? Like the topic always comes up, right? Should starters play? Should they not play? Kind of what's your philosophy on that? And has it changed as somebody that was offensive coordinator, head coach, and now kind of seeing it, you know, from another viewpoint? Like, how is the best way to go about developing a football team, you know, at any position, whether it's a defensive lineman, whether it's a quarterback, and the risks that are associated with it?
Yeah, that's the toughest call you have to make as a head coach, you know, especially like week 18 when you're not playing for anything, supposedly. You still want to put your best foot forward. I think if guys are healthy, they should play. But you also want to take a look at the young guys. Hopefully you've been looking at the young guys throughout the whole season of practice. They're playing scout team. Even though they're doing other teams' stuff, you're still watching them move and break on the football as defensive backs, rush the passer as defensive ends and tackles, protect as offensive linemen, run routes as receiver, and so on and so forth. So you should have a pretty good gauge at your young football team. If guys are deservedly of getting reps in this last game as a young football player, I'd put them in there. But if they're not quite ready, then, you know, you still want to put your best team out there to try to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no question about it. But there is a fine line there. You know, I mean, other teams are playing their best players. Dak is still playing. Joe Burrow's still playing. Jamar Chase is still playing. You just hope to goodness that they stay healthy. But you can never predict an injury. But you got to play your best players, in my opinion.
Jay, two winning in games here in the NFL in Week 18. First, Carolina, Tampa. Who you got?
You know, Tampa Bay has been very disappointing the last 4 or 5 weeks. Baker has struggled immensely. You know, Mike Evans has struggled to get separation. Carolina has been a huge roller coaster team. They've looked so good and so bad, so good, so bad. They've been opportunistic on offense, on defense. I mean, they've gotten turnovers. I'm taking Carolina. I just think I'm going to play the more steady defensive football team. I think Tampa's leaking oil on defense or giving up too many big plays. And I think offensively, if Bryce Young can protect the ball, get the ball to Tet McMillan and the strong running game that they have with Rico Dowdle and Hubbard, I think they'll get the win.
And then Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Man, Tubeca, Huntley's playing. It looks like Huntley's playing, but he's played pretty damn good. I'm taking Baltimore. Pittsburgh has nothing at all on the outside that scares you. Nothing at wide receiver. So they can stack up against the run and stop Warren and Gainwell. And I think, you know, and Aaron Rodgers can't run at all. So I think as long as they stop the run and make Aaron Rodgers throw it, they're going to have to throw the ball to Freiermuth and Gainwell out of the backfield is the only weapons that they have. And I think Baltimore gets it done.
Jay, awesome as always, brother. Appreciate your time. Happy holidays to you and Happy New Year.
You got a kid. Good talking to you, man. Happy holidays.
You too, Coach. Have a good one.
There he goes. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. Shop them all at TedBritt.com. About an hour left in the show. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Kendrick Olsen is sitting in for GP. We touched on this a little bit earlier. I want to circle back to it, Ken. I want to be very clear. I am not firing anybody at this point. Okay? I know it's sports radio. We're built on hot takes. Everyone likes to yell and shout the reactions or whatever, etc. This season to me is bad enough, though, that I'm arguing it's perfectly reasonable to have a discussion. We'll discuss if it's okay to have a discussion about Dan Quinn and his staff next. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Before the Capitals take over these airwaves, we'll do a little holiday recap. It's Kendrick Olsen sitting in for Grant Paulson, and myself, old Fanny Mouye, a.k.a. Rainy Douye. We'll talk about what makes the holiday the holiday. In other words, there's a great Louis C.K. joke where he talks about what his vacation is, Ken, where the vacation isn't the actual tropical destination or whatever. It's once the kids are packed, his wife's in the car, he shuts the door on her side and he walks around to my side of the car. That's his vacation. That's kind of what we're talking about here. What moment where you go, okay, it's Christmas now, right? We'll get into that, talk about the best things you ate and the like to round out the program. But half an hour of discussion right now that I want to have with you is here. Last year for this Washington foosball team was so great, right? We all got swept up in it. It was a blast. It was awesome. I cannot remember having that much fun. It was more fun than 2012, which was incredible. It was the most fun I'd had as a fan of this organization since the early 90s, since 1991 or even 92. The 91 teams, as far as I'm concerned, one of the two or three greatest football teams ever assembled. They were incredible. That joy was perfect. And even in 92, it still felt like we'd be here again pretty soon. Little did we know what was coming, right? That was so joyous. This year has kind of been its negative. It's been the upside down to the Hawkins, Indiana, and Stranger Things, right? Where you were outscored by more than 100 points with still a game to go. You're in the dregs now. You're in the bottom of the league type conversation now in a lot of metrics in a lot of different ways. Losing four games by almost 100 points total, again, that's happened twice since the year 2000. This has been so bad that I said this earlier in the show, and I want to get your thoughts. If last year wasn't so great, if it was just okay, this would be far more on the table, what I'm about to say, than the reality. Again, I want to be very clear. I would not fire Dan Quinn. I would not fire anybody. I would ask him, hey, we should probably make a change or two maybe on the defensive staff. Message isn't getting through. Your guy Al Harris, everywhere he goes, they lead the league in interceptions. There's a correlation there. Dallas, now Chicago, etc. I'd probably make a change or two. I'd ask you to. But I'm not going to fire Dan Quinn. My only point here is, or my question is, is it reasonable to have the discussion after as bad as this season is, even as good as last season was? Is that reasonable just to even have a convo?
You know, you need content, right? It's reasonable to talk about having the conversation, but I think it's a waste of time to actually consider it, right? Because I think any second, any moment taken away for what happened this year, where did we go wrong, right? So some self-reflection,
yeah,
some self-scouting by Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, and the staff, right? Like, obviously Dan Quinn is known. He cut his teeth in this league, right? Defensively, right? The Legion of Boom, he architected that defense, right? Like, he built that defense with not a ton of star power, if you really look at it. Those guys are household names now based off of how they play.
These are third, fourth, fifth rounders, et cetera, yeah.
You know, so we know he can, you know, he took a no-name Dallas defense before he came here, right? Had that defense playing at a really high level, right? And so it's a guy that knows how to play coach football, right? Kingsbury, right? Like, he historically or throughout the league is an offensive-minded coach, right, that puts players in situations, is innovative and creative, right? And then you got the assistants, right? So kind of like we talked about earlier in the show, right, like, when did we all realize this wasn't going to kind of right itself, right? But I say with the going into the offseason, right, like, now all the emotion is gone out of it, right? Like, you don't know that so-and-so was a little banged up and all that kind of stuff. So you can really take the emotion out of it and don't look at it as a team that you're coaching and as a group that you're trying to motivate and train and develop. Now you can look at it just for what it is, right? Take the emotion out of it, figure out things that you did well, things you need to improve on, players, spots on the team, on the roster that you need to upgrade, people that you need more out of, people that actually did a good job, and come up with a plan on, one, how to approach it next year, right? Because for me, don't tell me what you did, show me what you're doing now, right? And I think that's ever more so true in football, right? Like, we just all assume, me included, when I was watching them early in the year, I think the game against Green Bay stands out, right, where they did not play well offensively or defensively. I'm like, oh, they're going to figure it out, right? And that was based off of what I saw last year, yep, and my belief in the players.
We all thought that.
I still believe in the players, but you have to show me now, right? And so they didn't just come out there and play the way they played in those games, right? There were some things that were happening at practice that probably should have been, more attention should have been put to it earlier on so that you did have time to make those corrections, right? And so that's where I think the injury part maybe is had a little bit more to do with this season, because if you can't practice, that's an opportunity for you not to get better. And if you can't get better and the timing of the offense and so on and so forth. So I give them a little bit of slack into that. But at the end of the day, you have to really be able to, and I believe as an athlete, as a coach, right, to really be critical of yourself so that you know in areas you need to improve in.
I generally, and I think it's very well said, I generally am a, whatever decision, because these are major decisions. This is why you get paid a lot of money to make those calls. Whatever call you make, be it the quarterback, be it the fullback, be it the guy that keeps the coffee hot, whatever you do needs time. And I know this is a microwave society and a microwave league to a degree where there's so much parity, but I need you to be able to see it through. And I generally give a longer leash, I think, than a lot of people. I know nobody believes me on that front, but I generally am to be too reactionary, it leads you on a vicious cycle where that never ends. Here's my asterisk or my caveat. Sometimes you just know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the building, but sometimes you just know. And I'll give you an example. With the Washington Capitals, okay, they generally are a pretty stable franchise. You think of them as such, right? They go to the playoffs, an overwhelming percentage of the time. Now, they don't win all that much in the playoffs, but they get there all the time, okay? And you let guys see it through. A couple of times, though, over the last two decades, they've only given a coach 2 years. A younger in terms of head coaching experience, kind of a more neophyte guy, and Todd Reirden and Adam Oates. And they both those times went, we're not doing the full 4 years. We're not doing a five-year thing. We just know. The results haven't been disastrous. Haven't been very good. It's not kind of what we're used to. We're just going to move on. And those, I think, in both cases, were the right calls. Now, that leads me back to the Houston Texans, for example. DeMeco Ryans, they got one. They found the dude. But it wasn't because they were stable before then. Post Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel for almost an hour. I think it was David Culley. And I can't even remember what Smith. Lovie Smith. It was Lovie Smith was the head coach there. Yeah, I'm looking at, I was trying to remember. Like, I'm looking at the line. And, you know, Lovie Smith, a lot of pelts on the wall, great career, but nobody was beating down his door to be the head coach anywhere. And they were one and done. They found DeMeco Ryans and they settled it. I guess my point is, the way I'm coming at this question, again, this is all with the backdrop, I'm not firing anybody. I guess my argument is, this year is so bad, everything should be on the table for discussion. And if everything's on the table for discussion, that's one of the, that's one of my items. It can be a quick one, go, you don't think so, right? No, no, no. Okay, fine. We're keeping them moving on. Let's go to the next item. Because all the things that you said, I agree with. Everything you said makes 100% sense to me in terms of what are we doing going forward? What are our lessons learned? What's our pivot? What's our adjustment? How are we going to change? Let's have an deep dive introspection where we have a lot of time, you know, making eye contact with each other and being able to say, hey, here's what I did wrong. Here's what you did wrong. We need a deep dive here because it went really, really, really bad. But is the idea that that's out of the realm of possibility to me, I think forgives, I'm not saying for you, but if you're not having that conversation, it's too forgiving to how bad this year was.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you talk about the Capitals, you're talking about somebody for the last, what, 15, 20 years has been one of the better teams in the NHL,
yeah,
right? And so that front office, that organization knows what it looks like, and right? So they're able to make those quick changes, say, oh,
I think that's fair. That's fair.
I see some limitations with this guy. I know I've seen this movie, right? Like, we're going to move on and go to the next theater. This is, you know, Josh is new to ownership, Josh Harris, right, the NFL, right? Adam Peters, where he's been in a ton of different spots, right? This is his show. This is his organization now, right? Coach Quinn, Coach Kingsbury, you know, obviously they're going to, you know, get another defensive coordinator, right? Like, sometimes you have those debrief moments as you talk about that, right? Like, they're all going to sit in a room, right? And you need to have those conversations of what went wrong, why they went wrong, and accountability has to be the forefront of this, right? And I believe that these guys are ones that take accountability. And the reason I say that is that they're not winning football games, and that's, as fans, we want to see, and that's what this is all about. But in a lost year, quote-unquote, right, Von Miller, Hall of Famer, still out there playing. Before Laremy Tunsil got hurt, right? These are guys that could easily say, hey, you know what? I'm kind of on to the next. So that says to me that you're not getting the W's on the field, but culturally there's still something going on in that building that you can build off of,
yes,
right? Now, that doesn't mean you just double down and say, oh, we got it all figured
and
out.
And that's my case, Ken. I'll tag you back in as to why I'm not firing anybody. There is something very positive happening, and I know no fan wants to hear it, when you tune in on Sunday and they lose by 22 points. I'm with you. I'm pissed off too. But there's enough in whatever that it's tough to measure, but whatever that is, there are enough deposits in the bank where I look out and see the veteran that doesn't have any allegiance here, that didn't, you know, grow up and come up in this organization, fighting his ass off down the stretch. And I know that doesn't matter to a lot of fans, but I get that. Again, I think there's enough cultural positive as to why I'm not firing Dan Quinn.
Yeah, and that's really because at the end of the day, it's the stuff that you don't see that ultimately has the greatest impact, right? Like, because of parity, because of the salary cap, right? Like, pretty much everybody, like, it's, you got good teams, you got below average teams, and you got great teams, right? A lot of the great teams, right, they have what? They got a quarterback, mm-hmm, right? They got a quarterback that is got a guy that's going to go out there and put the team on their back. We believe we have that guy, right, in Jaden Daniels. He was banged up. There's still a lot of development that has to go on there, right? And then you create a culture around that quarterback defensively, offensively, right, to go out there and self-evaluate on what our shortcomings were, right, what our shortcomings was, and how do we move forward in a way that is scalable from not only winning now, but developing a consistent product year in and year out, right? And so, like, everybody, there was kind of a different taste in our mouth after the Denver Broncos game, right? They lost, they went for two, they didn't get it, right? Yep. We're like, oh, you know what? This is a better team in the league. But then to come back and lay an egg, right? It's, what is with the inconsistencies, right? That's a question that if we both knew the answer to, we probably wouldn't be sitting here on the radio, right?
That's right.
We'd have some type of superpower. this season is kind of going to be – whatever narrative we're going to say after this year is going to be what it is based off of what happens next year. Yes. And the reason I say that is that they had the great year, they have an awful year, right? What does year three look like? So I think it's fair to say that this is a really, really important offseason in training camp for Adam Peters, from Coach Quinn, and this football team, because you have all the information now, right? This is the third year. More times than not, this is like, hey, when you're rebuilding, it's that third and fourth year where you see the fruits of your labor. We can all agree that, you know what, we had the hot hand last year. Everything was rocking and rolling. We're throwing no-look passes. We're scoring. All this kind of stuff. Everything went well. Well, you could argue everything went bad this year, right? Like, you fumbled the ball. You didn't catch the ball. The ball was caught on you, all those type of things, right? So that being said, you can't have many misses this offseason because this next year is super important to the trajectory of this franchise.
That's Kedrick Golston. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny. Question is simple. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Here's my baseline. I am not firing Dan Quinn. But my question is it fair, is it valid to have that discussion? As bad as this year has been, I am arguing, I guess, that it more than cancels out how positive last year was. Again, I'm not making any moves. I'm saying this shouldn't be off the table. This should be a conversation we're all having. 800-636-1067. Maybe don't fire him, but is it okay to have that conversation? That's next on Grant and Danny.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
G&D here on the Fan, Kedrick Golston sitting in for Grant. About 45 minutes left of us before we give way to the Washington Capitals on these airwaves, taking on the back-to-back, I believe, defending champion Florida Panthers. That will air tonight on 106.7 The Fan. Discussion of the moment is, this is one of those things, like I never like doing this exactly, because I'm not saying I would, but I'm saying, is it okay to have the conversation? Which I think is kind of a cheap way out. But really, my point here is, I think it's very reasonable after this disaster of a season where it's not just injuries. We kind of spent the first hour and change proving that they can't get timeouts right. They, you know, there's a we're disorganized. We got to burn a timeout early in the second half or midway through the first half every week. There's controllable things that aren't being controlled that tell you this group isn't prepared or hadn't been prepared way too often to compete in games like this. I mean, you look at the teams are going to pick in the top two or three or four. They have more better showings more often than this group has this year. I think it should be on the table. I'm not doing it, but I think it should be on the table. Let's go to Mike in Virginia, 800-636-1067. Is it okay to have the conversation about letting go DQ and the staff?
I don't mind having the conversation, but I don't think it's very productive. I don't think 2 years is a good sampling yet.
What else would you need to see in either direction to go, okay, I feel good, we got the long-term answer, or I'm ready to go? Like, how big of a sample do you need? Because I think it's a fair point, Mike.
I need to see next year to is 9-8. And then I think I would need 4 years. We gave Ron Rivera more than enough time to prove it, and he didn't. But I would need to see 4 good years.
And so, Mike, and I appreciate the phone call. Phone was a little crackling there. And Rivera's kind of my lesson. So now, his initial year of success, I'm putting that in quotation marks, you're 7-9, you win the worst division maybe in the history of the sport, but there's success in year one. That maybe bought him extra leeway. That sound familiar? There's a lot of success in year one. How much does that buy you?
Yeah, but that was... I made it all the way through the show and
I know.
Had my mic on. That being said, Ron Rivera, right, like... It's not fair to Dan Quinn or this staff to compare the 12-4 to the 7-9 because that was just a really bad NFC East where somebody had to win it, right? And you can go back to parts of that season and all due respect to the situation, Ron Rivera was going through a really personal thing with cancer and so on and so forth, right? And not looking right. Right. And the guys rallied around them and so on and so forth. That being said, this last year at 12-4, it was different in 2012 because this was a bunch that was competitive throughout the whole year. It wasn't like, you know, we got hot and won the last 7 games of the year. And what is this really? Is it scalable? And nobody knows in actual time. But what I saw out of the 12-4 was a young quarterback, right? 2012, you had a young quarterback, right? The difference that I see is people want to come play for Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're getting guys that have opportunities to go to quote-unquote contenders that are coming here because they believe in what he's building and what he wants to be a part of. But that being said, you cannot have a repeat year of this year, right, because that's not progress, right? So it's not about the record per se. It's about, one, there's no moral victories in the NFL, but how you win and how you lose or how you lose says a lot about the total overall product, right? And like you talked about earlier with who was that had all those tough losses early on? Texans, right?
Texans, yeah.
The Texans, right? They were tooth and nail with what we know now to be some of the better teams in the NFL, right? They lost those games, but now – they've won the games they're supposed to win, and they got a good thing going.
Say goodbye to our Richmond audience. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. I think it's fair to have the conversation. And the previous caller brought up my general axiom or philosophy, which is, yeah, you guys need time. And absolutely they do. You're bringing in your guys, your coaches, your schemes, your ups and downs, etc. But Ron Rivera shouldn't be a point in that column. Like, I figured out pretty early in the Rivera era, so to speak, that I don't think this is it. I don't think having him be the GM, have a couple of his buddies from Carolina saying yes to whatever he says and running through this group, I don't think this is the long-term answer. And sure enough, the bottom fell out. Seeing it through just because it's a number of years, I don't know that that's always the best thing to go by. Let's go to Steve in Maryland. Steve, is it okay to have the conversation about moving on from DQ and company?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good.
Real quick, Danny.
Yeah.
You deprived me of my Danny Ruhe special for Christmas. I hope you make that up for New Year's.
Steve, we're going to try to do it tomorrow. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Zabe is going to be sitting in. He's going to have to sit there and watch me make a fool of myself, but I think we're going to do it tomorrow, the thing.
Hey, you got to do it for the people, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Real quick, just give me a second to try to make my point. Now, you see McDaniels in Seattle. You see Ben Johnson in Chicago. They became coaches because they were good coordinators at their, side of the ball. My problem is with Dan this year, he took too long to step in on your defense when they were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you became a head coach because you were a good defensive coordinator. You made the Legion of the Boom. You helped that. You had a good defense with Atlanta, and you had a solid defense with Dallas. And my problems with that is, like, you took too long to make adjustments and try to help out that side of the ball when you're supposed to be the man in the house. That's my only problem with them. And like you see San Francisco, they had a whole bunch of injuries and stuff like that. Didn't matter. They figured it out. Didn't have Brock Purdy. Mac Jones is just throwing it to whoever. Brock Purdy is throwing it to whoever. Kid is out now.
Yeah, Steve, I got to let you go. We're up against it, but we talked about it at the top of the show. San Francisco missing Bosa, missing Warner, missed Ayuk for the entire season. Tens of millions, $60, $70, $80 million in salary cap allocation, not playing for them anymore. And here they are playing for the one seed. I know it ain't the same, but there's also some commonalities and some things that we have to ask some questions about. It's a good phone call. Appreciate you making it. We're talking one last kind of putting a bow, terrible pun, Ked, I apologize. We're putting a bow on Christmas. We'll go on best stuff you ate, highlights of the Christmas season, what it means for you when you go, all right, you know what? Now I'm having my Christmas. I'll explain all that next. One more segment with Kedrick Olsen here on Grant and Danny.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.